sing with us.
Giver of every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory.
Choir, say glory!
Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your word. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ, it covers me and brings this dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus.
So glad you're here. Let's sing it again. Giver of every breath.
Giver of every breath I breathe. Author of all eternity. Giver of every perfect thing. To you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth. No one can comprehend your word. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ.
It covers me.
It covers me and raised this dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Me and raise this dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus.
Just sing it one more time.
It's all because of Jesus I'm alive.
Yes.
It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ. He covers me and raise this dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus.
I'm alive. I'm alive. Let's praise the Lord today, church. Jesus. Jesus. Will you turn and welcome someone to the Church of Pinnacle Hills? We're glad you're here today.
Day a brand new chance to say Jesus. Jesus, you are the only way. My Savior, my Savior lives.
Our God will reign forever, and all the world will know His name. Everyone together, sing the song of the
stand on what He did. My Savior, my Savior lives. Every day a brand new chance to say, Jesus, you are the only way. My Savior, my Savior lives.
Oh, let's sing it again.
Say, Jesus, you are the only way. My Savior Christ.
certificate, your declaration.
Lord, calls me home.
I'll stand his power.
Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save,
in his boundless love,
in his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me.
Oh, Jesus. thank you so much for singing today in choir. I'm always blessed when I hear preachers of the Word of God. You know, if your heart's right when you come to church and you want God to speak to you, God will speak to you. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been away, and while we've been away, you've been able to hear Mike Daniels on our first Sunday here at Pinnacle Hills. Our Springdale campus heard Ryan Blackwell. And then last week, you heard Nick Floyd, and I want to urge you to always appreciate the voices that come into your life with the Word of God. The Bible says you should bless those who teach you the Word. And I hope you blessed them. I mean, aren't you glad for men of God that preach the Word of God, who prepare and share a word from the Lord? I say that for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons I say that is that next week you're going to be able to hear one of the great evangelical theologians in our day and time. He's a fresh voice, somewhat a new voice. He's a dear friend of mine. His name is Danny Akin. Dr. Akin is the president of the Southeastern Seminary over in Wake Forest, North Carolina, one of the emerging seminaries in all of the world today. I tell you, I will be here next week, and Gina and I will be sitting on that front row because I can't wait to hear Dr. Akin speak. And I hope you'll pray for him this week. I hope you'll bring someone with you next week because I want to tell you something. We're talking about hearing quite a scholar and a great man of God. So please be here next week. One of the real blessings of my life has been reading the Bible. I think one of the most important disciplines I've ever established in my life was the discipline of reading through the Bible every year. I've done it for many years now. And when I read the Bible through, and when I read that, I read it devotionally. I do not go into the Bible and say, okay, I need a sermon, give me something to say for Sunday. But my approach in that first hour or so of every day is, Lord, speak to my life. God, what do you want to say to me? And it's amazing that even though I've read a story many times, whatever the story may be, it's always amazing how the Lord freshens something in your heart. And God speaks to you about something in your life. And sometimes some things begin to turn on in your mind that have never been turned on before. Today, I want to talk to you about one of those stories that I recently read about in my devotional life as I was reading through the book of Numbers. I want to talk to you today about when a donkey talks. You got to be real careful how you say that. You got to be real careful how you write about what you're going to talk about when you're talking about that subject, or they might equate it with you. So let's make it real clear. I'm not the donkey talking. But today I want to tell you a story in the Bible when a donkey talked. Before we read from Numbers 22, let me tell you what was going on. The Israelites were on their way to the Promised Land. They came to the land of Moab, close to the Jordan River. And as soon as they got to the land of Moab, the king of Moab became extremely concerned. The king's name was Balak. Balak. And King Balak was concerned because the Israelites were so many in number and they had been dominating everywhere they had been. So King Balak decided that he was going to go and hire him a prophet. And he went and he tried to hire a prophet, a false prophet, I might add, by the name of Balaam. He sent a group of people to Balaam to try to get Balaam to go to the land of Moab where the Israelites were stationed so that they would curse the Israelites. Balaam looked at how much they were willing to pay. He said, hey, why don't we think about it overnight? And the Lord came to him and said, why in the world would you want to curse somebody that I have blessed? So he told them no. Now remember, he was a false prophet. Time went on, and King Balak sent another group, a more prestigious group, a more respected group, a group closer to him, and said, listen, money's not an object. Whatever you want, I want you to go out to where the Israelites are and curse them. Put a spell upon them. You are a person who is involved in divination. You are in sorcery, witchcraft, the demonic. Go out and curse them. And Balaam already knew what God had said one time, but Balaam, he kind of led on to believe that he was not going to do it, but yet if the price was right, perhaps he would. He said, hey, why don't you guys stay overnight and we'll talk about it tomorrow. But once again, the Lord came to him and spoke to him. And you know what? It's a very simple thing that I want you to note in your mind today, because there's a great little principle here that we need to gather before we read the scripture. God talk does not make you godly. God talk does not make you godly. Balaam could talk God. Balaam could talk about all about God. But yet you'll never read in the scripture anything good about Balaam. He's mentioned numerous times, but he was always rebuked. He is never regarded in a heroic spiritual sense. Because why? Because he was a false prophet. But yet he could talk God. And there's a lot of us today, we're real good at talking God. In fact, we can clothe our decision-making many times, thinking about, well, I prayed about it, or I've been thinking about this, or I got counsel from somebody, you know, and they might be a pagan, or they might have counseled you opposite of the Word of God, but you think you've covered yourself with your God talk. Well, God talk doesn't make you godly. And today, you're going to read about it right here in the Word of God. In Numbers chapter 22, do you have your Bible turned? Begin reading with me, please, in verse number 20. God came to Balaam at night and said to him, since these men have come to summon you, get up and go with them. But you must only do what I tell you. And when he got up in the morning, Balaam saddled his donkey and he went with the officials of Moab. But God was incensed. Isn't it interesting that God gave him permission to go, but now God was incensed that he went? Why? Because God knew his heart, folks. God always knows your heart. You can fool other people with your God talk, but God knows your heart. But God was incensed that Balaam was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand on the path to oppose him. Balaam was riding his donkey, and the two servants were with him. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing on the path with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the path and went into the field. So Balaam hit her to return to her path. And then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow passage between the vineyards with a stone wall on either side. And the angel, or the donkey, saw the angel of the Lord and pressed her against the wall, squeezing Balaam's foot against it. So he hit her again. And the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she crouched down under Balaam. So he became furious and he beat the donkey with his stick. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. Now let me just tell you, when God says he opens the donkey's mouth, I mean, you better sit up and listen. And then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth and she asked Balaam, that is the donkey asked Balaam, what have I done to you that you have beaten me these three times? And Balaam answered the donkey, you've made me look like a fool. If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you now. But the donkey said, am I not the donkey you've ridden all your life until today? Have I ever treated you this way before? No, he replied. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the path with a drawn sword in his hand. And Balaam knelt and bowed down with his face to the ground. The angel of the Lord asked him, why have you beaten your donkey these three times? Look, I came out to oppose you because what you're doing is evil in my sight. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away from me, I would have killed you by now and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the path to confront me. And now, if it is evil in your sight, I will go back. And then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but you are to say only what I tell you. So Balaam went with Balak's officials. If you were to read the remaining of the chapter and read the next chapter, you would find out of the book of Numbers that God kind of did a little trick on Balak. Balak thought he was going to get a false prophet that would go out and denounce Israel and put a spell on them, a demonic spell upon them. But when Balaam went out there, guess what God did? God took the words of Balaam and God made him bless Israel. Not once, not twice, but three different times. There's so much in this story, so let's get right to it today. What are some lessons we learn from God when we look at this story? I mean, when you put all of the facts on the page, on a piece of paper, and there are many, what are some lessons we learn about God? The first lesson we learn about God is that God is sovereign over all affairs. It doesn't matter what it is, He is sovereign over all affairs. Think about it in this story. He was sovereign over Israel. He was sovereign over a false prophet. He was sovereign over a king. He was sovereign over a donkey. He was sovereign over all of the words that were spoken in this story. Let me give you some great news today. You may not understand why things are happening in the world as they may be appearing to be happening in our eyes. We may not even understand today why various leaders are where they are in the world and why they are permitted to do what they are permitted to do. But I want to share something with you today. God is sovereign over all of the affairs of life and all of the affairs of this world. For God to be sovereign means that God is in charge of all. And I want to tell you that every king and every leader is nothing more than a tool in the hand of God. It doesn't matter whether it's a donkey. It doesn't matter whether it's words from a donkey. It doesn't matter what it is. Take comfort today. God is sovereign over all affairs. There's a second lesson you learn about God today from this story, and that is that God can do anything. God can do anything. I mean, think about what God did. I mean, He took a donkey and He made a donkey speak. That's pretty profound. Just like He took Jonah and He made Jonah go over the side in the ocean. Whale came and got him and swallowed him. For 3 days he lived there. Then he came and preached in Nineveh. I mean, God can do anything. I mean, what we must understand is that when we speak the name of God, God can do anything. And whether or not we speak the name of God or not, whether we're a false prophet or a true prophet, guess what? God can do anything. So today it does not matter how high the mountain is that you're facing. It doesn't matter how impossible the situation may appear to be. It doesn't matter how dark your moment may be in your life today. Take comfort from this story about God. God can do anything. You know what else this story teaches us about God? What God says, He means. What God says, He means. Don't take that for granted. Don't act like it doesn't exist. If God says it, my friend, let me tell you, He means what He says. How is this seen in the story? It's seen very clearly. What did God tell him? You cannot curse that which I have blessed. He meant what he said. And what did God do? God took a false prophet who didn't like the people of God and who didn't even engage the God of heaven. And he went out and he gave not one, not two, but three blessings upon the people of God. Because what God says, He means. And you know what? My purpose is not a political statement. I have no political statement in mind. But my purpose is a biblical and a theological statement to prove the point. Listen very carefully. When God says every nation will be blessed, that blesses Israel. And every nation will be cursed, that is cursed Israel. What God says, God means. And that's still true today, ladies and gentlemen. Not only true for the day of Balak and Balaam. What God says, He means. What else do we learn today from the story? We learn that God will use anyone to carry out His will. Doesn't matter who it is. You see, what we get all upset about sometimes are the players in the story of life. What we get upset about sometimes are the events that are a part of the story of life that may be unfolding around us personally or around the world today. But listen carefully. God will use anyone to carry out His will. See, above it all is the will of God. Above it all is what brings glory to God. Just like the song we sing periodically about the glory of God. That's what is prominent in all things is the will and the glory of God. And God will use anyone. He'll use a king to bring him glory. Just like he did with Nebuchadnezzar. He eventually brought him glory. Just like he did with Pharaoh, he eventually brought him glory. God will use a king. God will use a false prophet. God will use a donkey. God can use anyone he chooses to use to carry out his will. And in our minds and in our eyes sometimes, we act like it's all dependent on us. No, it's not all dependent on us. What's ultimately dependent is the will of God. And if we don't want to participate with it, then God will raise someone else up to do it. It's not like He's short on power and short on people. He's got plenty of both. You know what the next part is we learn about God? Is that God is always protecting and speaking to us. I mean, that's what God did with a false prophet. He was protecting him. And look how He spoke to him. And if God will do that for a false prophet, God will do that for you, and God will do that for me. You may be wondering today, I mean, has God forgotten me? Pastor, things don't look good in our family. This is tough. We're about to split. Things aren't going well. Pastor, my business is about to go under. Things are not looking promising. I don't understand about all the events of life. I'm not here to articulate to you about the events of life. But what I am here to articulate to you today, that regardless of who you are and what you're faced, as a born-again, saved, blood-bought believer in Jesus, please take this one away with you today. God is always protecting and speaking to you. And you better listen. And you better hear. Because if He has to use a donkey to tell you, He'll use one. And today, I may be that donkey. God is always protecting and speaking to you. Well, what about lessons from a donkey? I mean, when's the last time has a donkey ever taught you anything? Let's talk about those lessons from a donkey today. You know, the ancient times, donkeys were known for being stupid, stubborn, and contrary. That's why slang is used referring to various people you know or to yourself periodically. Because sometimes we are contrary. And sometimes we are so willful and we are so very stubborn. But notice in the story what the donkey did. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, notice in verse 23, what did she do? She left the path. Very important phrase, she left the path. Later on, the angel appeared again, and the angel was seen by the donkey. And what did the donkey do? In verse 25, she pressed against the wall to where she was even rubbing the leg against the wall, the leg of Balaam against the wall. And what did he do both of those times? After she left the path, he whipped her. And after she pressed him against the wall, he whipped her. And then she saw the angel not giving her any way to go, not to the right, not to the left, not even against the wall. And so what did she do? She crouched under. And when she crouched under, I'm telling you, Balaam let her have it again. Because Balaam was literally hell bent to go where he wanted to go. Because listen, there was a payoff coming in Balaam's life. He just thought it was a different kind. And so what he did, he whipped her again. And all of a sudden, the donkey talked. Can you imagine if you were riding a donkey and a donkey turned to you and talked? Well, notice what the donkey said. I've been a good donkey. I've ridden you all my life, or you've ridden me all your life, Balaam. Have I ever acted this way before? In other words, Balaam, get a clue, Dumbo. Who's the donkey here? But you see, the greatest lessons the donkey teaches us is not in what the donkey says, but the greatest lessons in what the donkey did. And oh, by the way, let's just stop here for a moment and let me bring you along on donkeys. All of us, A-L-L, all of us in this room today and all of us who will watch, listen to this today, all of us have donkeys in our life. And I'm not referring to people, even though you may have one or two or more. But let me tell you what I'm referring to. The best way to say it is to bring clarity towards it. So let me bring clarity towards it. Donkeys can be decisions you have made, or relationships you have ruined, or realities that you're having to live with in your life today. That's what a donkey can be. A donkey can be a decision you have made. Obviously, wasn't a good decision. A relationship that you've ruined, obviously, again, was not a good decision. A reality that you're having to live with today, right where you are. And the commonality between Balaam and between us is really amazing. Let me show you the commonality. When we were in the middle of riding that donkey, called a decision, we were in the middle of that relationship, or we were in the middle of right now of the reality of where we are, you know what? That donkey tried to talk to us, and we didn't want to listen. And you know what we did? We did the same thing Balaam did. You know what we did to make sure the donkey got its way in our life? That donkey decision, or that donkey relationship, or that donkey whatever you want to call it. You know what we've done? We left God's path to make sure we got what we ultimately wanted. We assumed that it was best for us, but in reality, we were racing so quickly towards it, we never even considered whether it was God's best. And we went into it. And guess what? Today, we live with the reality of that mistake in our lives. We left the path of God. And then some of us were so bent on making sure that we get it, we pressed against the wall. We pressed the decision. Even though there were obstacles that were showing and they were trying to speak to us and say, no, this isn't right, at least it's not right now. We got so caught up, we didn't care about the timing. We just forced ahead and went all the way. Go for it. And guess what we're living with today? The reality of that decision. The reality of forcing the point. The reality of pressing against it. You see, it's not only about what's God's best for me, but I have to ask myself this question. Is it God's timing for me to do that? So she left the path. You left the path. She pressed it, or he pressed the decision. You pressed the decision. And then all of a sudden, we've done just like the donkey did. We crouched down. And all of a sudden, Balaam hits the donkey. You know what Balaam was doing? Balaam was saying, I'm going forward. I don't care if it's best for me. I'm going forward. I don't care if it's God's timing for me. I'm going forward. And he tried to whip that donkey into reality of where he wanted that donkey to be. So what he was doing is he blamed the donkey for not being able to go forward. Wasn't the donkey's fault. The donkey saw more than he saw. And you know what? He came to the reality of understanding the reality of his decision, and he did it with irresponsibility initially, trying to blame others, trying to force others, even blaming the donkey himself. You know what we do? We blame others. When things don't go right, we blame others. Well, if they hadn't done that, or this hadn't happened over here, if this hadn't happened, that hadn't happened, whatever happened. And everybody's walking in the world of irresponsibility. And America's in the shape it's in today because nobody will own their decisions. And folks, we had better understand as Christ followers, sometimes we really do mess up, and we need to own our decisions. How did you respond? I'll tell you how you responded, many of you. You responded just like Balaam did. You whipped it, and you whipped it, and you whipped it, trying to force it into reality, trying to make it happen even though it wasn't supposed to happen. And today, guess what happens? Are you listening? Some of you are living in your donkeys, and you have no business being in them. Some of you are living with your donkeys, and it wasn't God's will initially because you violated the will of God. Some of you are driving your donkeys, and you have no business driving them. Some of you are living in the reality of some of your donkey choices, if you may. Things that you tried to God talk about, but in reality have proven that they were not right, that it was not responsible, that it did not bring glory to God. And today you're living, just like I have before, with the choices that we make in our life. And now, what do we do? Someone taught me this years ago, The first time the dog bites you, it's the dog's fault. The second time the dog bites you, it's your fault. Point? The first time the donkey tries to talk to you, okay, you might be a little shocked. Oh, I really thought this was good. Oh, I think we'll just work on a little bit more and it'll all come out. But when the donkey talks to you again and things aren't right, you better sit up and listen. Or else you will be living in the reality of some of your donkeys. And folks, what I want you to understand is we've all been there. For us to not admit we've been there, we're just lying. We've been there. We've messed up. We've made some stupid decisions. We've forced some things into reality that were never the will of God, and we have tried our very best to try to justify them. And you know what? Today, we need to get out of the justification business like that. We need to own it, and we need to repent of it, and we need to ask God to forgive us, because the bottom line is, it was wrong. And if it's not God's best, it's wrong. If it's not God's will at that time in life, then it's wrong, and we need to remember it, and we need to deal with it. I mean, when you got up this morning, you probably never thought about it, but I'm going to have a lesson from a donkey in my life. They're all around us. They're in your life, and they're in my life. And you know, those donkeys, they're a lot like sin. You know, your sins can be forgiven, but the scars can still be there from your sins. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you and God doesn't forgive you, but you know, those scars will be there. Well, today, let's bring closure, and let me talk to you about some lessons for you today. I really want you to be encouraged today before you go, because, I mean, I really want you to understand the great news about what we learned today. First lesson for you is, if a donkey knows not to go against God's will, then so should you. That's what that donkey did. That donkey knew he could not go forward, or she could not go forward. That donkey saw judgment awaiting. Balaam didn't see it, and he was a prophet, supposedly. But the donkey saw more than Balaam saw until she admitted that she was wrong. Friend, listen today. You never win when you go against the will of God. I'm amazed as a pastor at how many times I hear people using God talk to justify decisions they make in their life, and they come to church every week. I'm absolutely amazed in it. It goes from this to that to this to that, and I'm not going to mention any of it because I don't want anybody to personally take offense. But the bottom line is, man, we got to clean our act up. And we got to start living by the Word of God and stop trying to justify our lives, trying to take a scripture totally out of context and trying to make it work when we're literally living outside of the will of God. Folks, if a donkey knows to not go against the will of God, then certainly you should. Don't become a donkey when you're trying to go against the will of God, because your life will just not be right. The safest and most powerful place you can live in your life is in the center of God's will. And you should will to be in the center of God's will. Doesn't matter if you have a dime left to your name. Doesn't matter what goes on, to just be in the will of God. There's another lesson. If God can speak through a donkey, then God can speak through you. Be encouraged. Some of you have never thought you could ever share your faith in Jesus. I can't do it. Some of you could never imagine yourself becoming a leader of one of our groups that meets in a home or meets here on this campus or close by and talk to people about the Word of God. Some of us would never imagine. We say, I can't do that. I don't have the gift of speaking. It's not God's will for everybody to be a teacher. That's not my point. My point is simply this. If God could speak through a donkey, then God could speak through you. Meaning God could do anything. So you can't say, God doesn't want me to share my faith. God wants you to share your faith. He can use you. He can use you. And finally today, if God can use a donkey, then God can use you. Doesn't matter how bad your life's been, doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made in your life, doesn't matter how many people you've hurt, doesn't matter how ridiculous it's been, how dumb it's been, how erroneous it's been, take heart today. God can use you. But we really have to come to the reality we've messed up. We've messed up. And so today I close with this. I call it an insight today. Call it what you want. But when you're not being all God wants you to be in your life, then you're not going to see what you need to see. And there's a lot of us here today, you know, the reason we see wrongly about various things is because we're not being what God wants us to be in our life. But when we're what God wants us to be, then we're going to see what we need to see. You know what? Balaam could not see the angel of God in front of him, but a donkey could see it. But as soon as Balaam admitted he was wrong, even though he was a false prophet, his false motives were eventually shown forth. We must understand that he was able to see the angel of God once he had that quick moment of repentance. When I finished this passage, I wrote down these three words: repentance. You know what repentance means? It means that you turn from your way. It means that you live with and you own your problem. You don't blame, you own it. And you give it to God and you tell God, God, I'm wrong. I have sinned. I have done wrong and I want you to forgive me. And God, I don't want to go back there. Repentance. That's exactly where many of us as Christ followers, we need to be involved in today. We need to repent as followers of Jesus Christ, because right now we are in the middle of some of our donkey days. And we need to repent and say, God, we messed up. God, I forged ahead and it wasn't your will, and now my family pays the price. I pay the price. My business may even pay the price. My friends pay the price. I mean, it's tough. It's not easy. But we got to own up to it. And before we can ever own up with anybody else, we got to own up to God. God, we have sinned against you. The second word I wrote down was the word of revival. Because you see, that's what we need in our lives once we begin to own what we've done wrong. And we move from repentance to revival, meaning, God, I want you to give me a fresh touch. Yes, I've messed up. Yes, God, I've not honored you. Yes, Lord, I didn't do it with a bad motive, God. You know, I didn't mean to do it. Lord, I didn't. But, you know, I got to deal with it. And, Lord, I need you to be all over me. And then I wrote down the word restoration. Because, you see, that word restoration is a word of hope. And we've got to understand is that God can take us, even with our scars, and give us our greatest days. Even with our junk in our lives that may have cost us and cost others and cost our family, He can still use us in a greater way than we've ever been used before, because our God believes in people. And He's able and willing to restore us to be all that we need to be for the Lord. I don't know where you are in all that today, but I can tell you this. It's rare a day in my life when I don't need to repent. Rare a day. It's rare a day when I don't need revival in my life. And it is a rare day when I don't need to try to restore something that I've screwed up myself. God, help me, and God, help all your people today.